Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to the Sussex County Council meeting of December 6, 2016. First thing is to approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good morning, members of council. I do have one suggested amendment for today's agenda. Under old business, we can remove conditional use number 2046 filed on behalf of Lockwood Design and Construction.
Big fish.
I take a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of November 29th. Any corrections, questions, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have several letters thanking council for the grants. The first is from People's Place. The second is from Read Aloud Delaware and from the Delaware Housing Coalition. And that is all, Mr. President.
And the correspondence from council. Correspondence from council.
Yes, sir. Mr. Cole. I got one from Coastal Concerts thanking Mrs. Deaver and myself for supporting their efforts this year.
That's very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't
know. Anything else from council? Mr. Dodd, public comments? Public comments. Thank you, sir.
My chair's too low.
Paul Rieger. Paul Rieger. Oh, there he is.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. I don't have that list of definitions ready yet. Still waiting. I'm running into a little question mark with certain things. But last week we had a presentation with the commercial districts of breaking out the different ones for different things in different zones. A while ago when you were doing the sign ordinance, that one issue with the three billboards on us or three small whatever signs on a small lot versus a bigger lot with only having one, with the smaller size lot having the more rights. With going through everything in the GR, the general residential for what they are, and the medium density for designing the purpose and for what it is. Everything that I've looked at now going through it and coming in, and this is why I don't have the definitions, is I keep coming back to what is the input of the county on what general residential is? What exactly is it for? Because when I compare it to the AR, between having smaller setbacks on a GR lot where I can go 10 feet versus an AR with 15 feet, the back setbacks are closer for a GR lot, for an AR, I'm trying to understand why they're different on like a 5-acre parcel, why one would even be considered. So does a general residential lot have more rights than an AR lot if everything that I've heard and read over the last 3 years trying to figure this out is it was basically put in place for medium density and to have the mobile homes or single wides or whatever in it. It's like having your commercial lots where you're having a B1 over here or however that works for a smaller business versus a Walmart. How can the GR be able to get closer to property lines, less restrictions, and smaller lot size and medium density and be more powerful than an AR lot? Why would anybody, if I owned an AR lot right now, I'd bring it in to try and get it rezoned just to have the ZR to have the higher density and closer setbacks, if that's the loophole in the whole thing. But with the definitions for the code on what goes on everything, you did the commercial thing here. Is there any possibility for the general residential thing to be brought up exactly what the purpose of a general residential lot is to be used for in that? So I know which way to take the definitions a little bit and the codes to be tweaked a little bit. A lot of them can go across the board, but there's certain little things that should be done a little differently. It just does not make sense that like GR, Walmart, AR, Wawa. It's just illogical. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I'll tell you what. I gotta really kid you not. I really get a joke out of this one. Hey, I'm glad to, all congratulate the girls here for the hockey team. The only problem is they used the wrong puck. They should have used all your heads, and then they'd got someplace.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
George Soros.
William Kinnick.
Girls, we can't explain that. We don't even try.
That's two things that they've experienced this morning.
It's called freedom of speech, First Amendment rights.
You just learned something here, like a civics class.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. President and distinguished council members. My name is William Kinnick. I live at 134 Hitch Pond Circle in Seaford, Delaware. And my cell phone number is 443-336-2538. I just want to remind the council that I've been here numerous times. And Mr. Cole, I want to specifically tell you that I am working with Mike Costello to get a plan together, and we will bring it back to you in 2017. And lastly, I'd just like to thank the president and vice president for their wonderful voices last night at the caroling. You guys were excellent, and what a great way to start the holiday season. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and see you in 2017.
Thank you, sir. Same to you and your family.
My granddaughter did so well.
Yes, she did.
Much better than you, I would say.
She carried me.
Presentation, Delaware State Police, Mike Wheeler. Good morning, sir. Come on down.
Good morning.
Good morning, Council.
Good morning.
My name is Lieutenant Mike Wheeler, with the State Police, and greetings from Troop 5, serving the western side of Sussex County. Okay. And I apologize that Captain Short is not able to be with us this morning. He's feeling a little under the weather this morning. Just wanted to give you a quick presentation on what the Delaware State Police has been doing, specifically Troop 5. We started a SPEAR initiative last year, 2015, beginning in July. SPEAR stands for State Police Enhanced Analytical Response. Basically, what that means is we're using evidence-based policing, data that we gather from real-time software in order to be able to direct our patrols to use them to their best ability. And just quickly, we track basically on the criminal side four different crimes, very detailed, and those are burglaries, thefts, robberies, and aggravated assaults. I just wanted to give you, in short, what we're doing this year compared to last year. As you can see, our burglaries are down to 267 from 334, literally 37 or 67 burglaries that we're not going to this year as compared to last, down 20% with a clearance rate of 38%. The national average is only 12.4%, and we're clearing at a 38%. And this is done through several different strategies, which I'm going to go over here in just a moment. Our thefts, much like our burglaries, are well down, 74 thefts down from last year, 14.6%, and we're making a clearance rate of 41.7%, which is over twice the national average. Now, these next two slides, you're going to see them go up a little bit, but there is a silver lining on it. Our aggravated assaults are slightly over last year, 74 compared to 65, which is a 13.8% increase. But I just want you to notice that the total number in general is very low. So it's only 9 that were above last year, but our clearance rate is 77%. So we're experiencing a very good clearance rate for our aggravated assaults. And when I say aggravated assaults, those would be assaults that involve like weapons or a serious assault or even a threat of injury with a weapon would be classified as an aggravated assault. The last category are robberies, 26 this year compared to 16 last. And again, it looks like an enormous increase of 62.5%, but we're only talking 10 complaints. And we've cleared half of them, a 50% clearance rate, with a couple more of those pending active at this time, meaning that we're going to clear them very soon. Really, the robbery problem is up north, and that's why State Police is looking at robberies very close. Robbery isn't really a huge issue in Sussex County, specifically on the west side. What we do as part of our SPEAR is we have designated an area. Again, this is all data driven, and it basically runs from just south of Bridgeville to down to Laurel and then coming over to Concord. This is what we call our hotspot area where we're seeing an increased amount of crime. And what we do is we look at the time of day that crimes are occurring, and that's that chart that you see there at the bottom. And we designated a couple times during the day when crime was at its highest rate. Before, between 6 and 10 in the morning was a high crime rate time. And this is a this chart I just grabbed just last week. And as you can see, the crime rate is actually reduced during that time that we are doing increased patrol. The other time frame is 16 to 2000 hours or 4 to 8 p.m. And a little bit of reduced compared to the lunch hour time, but obviously we can do a little bit better during that time. Here's some strategies. Again, we picked 2 4-hour times based on the data between 6 and 10 and then 16 and 2000 hours for night work. And we're putting patrols in that hour. Our goal is to have 4 hours of patrol during that each of those 4 hour blocks. And we track that every single day to make sure that our troopers are in there in that hotspot area and patrolling those areas during that time. So that there's not a time during that time frame that goes without a patrol car in that area patrolling. The other strategy is our property worksheet. And basically that boils down to we're just keeping our guys very accountable. With scene processing, doing fingerprints, collecting DNA, all of those things, neighborhood canvases. When we go to a burglary, we check with the neighbors to see if they did anything. Collecting any video evidence, it's pretty amazing this day and age. You go to a residence, you wouldn't think that there would be video available, but often there is now. So we're collecting video. We have some facial recognition software that we're able to use and to get hits off of video. National computer inquiries, the NCIC, we put any serial numbers that we collect from stolen items or recovered items into the national database. And then there's a program called RAPID, and that's a pawn database that anytime somebody pawns something, it goes into this database, and we can query that. We're getting unbelievable amounts of hits and solved for crimes through this program called RAPID. And all Delaware is in it, Maryland is in it, parts of Pennsylvania are in it, and we've solved complaints from many times from things going into Maryland, but even recently a case going all the way up into Pennsylvania, we were able to solve a case. So we're also doing a Patriarch and a CPC strategy, meaning that we do intelligence reports and crime prevention checks whenever we have suspicious persons. Also, a person's wanted strategy. If you notice, these all start with P's, or P steps. but they're a person's wanted strategy where we track known offenders, trying to execute warrants like capiuses and troop warrants, and make sure that we monitor our warrant file. We have a special team over at Troop 5. It's called PACE Team, which stands for Proactive Criminal Enforcement Team. I'm going to read all of that, but basically they're our go-to unit. They have contact with our citizens and collect information and try to make car stops based on the intelligence that they gather. And they're just being very effective in the drug trade industry and apprehending our wanted offenders. Those guys are, it's amazing how much work that they're getting done. Our division establishes crime pattern bulletins when there's a crime trend. We have a crime intelligence officer that does that. Troop 5, we've sometimes been on the cusp of having a bulletin developed for our side, but we've been very successful in solving these crimes before it develops into a crime trend. So for 2016, we have not actually had a crime bulletin because we've been on top of it. And then lastly, nuisance locations. If we have three or more places that we respond to within a three-week period, and that might be everything from a burglary alarm to a domestic. We take a little bit more of a detailed look at that location. Often I'll call or contact the people at that location to find out what is going on so that we reduce the times that our troopers are going to repeatedly. We are involved in community outreach. We have an honorary troop commander, and we participate in night out events in various towns. Community meetings we go to. We're heavily participating in Troopers Got Your Backpack, which was a back-to-school program. Explorers is running very strong. I believe we have 13 Explorers at Troop 5. And then, of course, we have the Troop 5 Christmas Needy Family Project that's going to be delivered on the 13th. And there are several families throughout Sussex County that we're going to be assisting with that project. On the traffic side of things, 1,400 total crashes this year. We do have a lot of deer-related crashes. Those are going to be our animal-related crashes. We actually had a big car inspection just this past Friday, and one of our troopers struck a fox and destroyed the front of his car. So we have a lot of animal-related crashes, 69 DUI-related crashes. Our goal is to get that number down as we do increase DUI enforcement. Our hotspot for traffic, a little bit thinner than our criminal hotspot, but it encompasses the same area on 13, stretching, again, from Bridgeville down to Laurel. And we track our crashes, and we track our productivity in that area. And again, our goal is to reduce crashes. Some of our strategies for traffic is traffic enforcement in the hotspot in order to reduce crashes, and during those peak hours of 16 to 10, 16 to 24, or 2,000 hours. Our second strategy is to use traffic initiatives, such as OHS, which is Office of Highway Safety, and Drive to Zero Jobs, to have increased presence in our hotspot during high crash times. Our third strategy is doing targeted DUI initiatives, such as checkpoints. We also focus our guys and gals to get out into the secondary roads during like the after midnight hours to do increased DUI productivity. And then lastly, use our unencumbered time from sector cars to patrol, because we don't want to just put all of our resources into the hotspot. We want to make sure that we get march units out to every part of our area. So that's pretty much what we're doing with Spear. Overall, it's been very successful. I think we're making quite a dent in the drug trade, and as you can see, with a lot of the crimes that are going on. Do you have any questions for me?
Question of council.
I wish I lived on that side. That's pretty good.
They're doing it throughout the whole county, right, this program? Or is it just here?
These statistics that I'm showing you are just for Troop 5 area.
Right.
But I can tell you for the whole county, we're seeing great success with the Spear program.
Okay. I mean,
it's in the whole county, yeah.
That's what I say, you're spearheading.
Oh, yes, sir. The different Spear initiative is going on throughout the entire county, okay. Statewide.
Okay. Now, you did mention you had, at those peak hours, when you were showing the crime, you know, thefts and burglaries and all that stuff, and you said at peak hours you had troopers in those areas, I guess, right? Are those same troopers during the crime and the traffic? Are there different troopers looking at the crime problem and different troopers looking at the traffic problems?
We're very fortunate in Troop 5 that our crime and our traffic area overlap, so we can consolidate our resources. Okay. In other troops, the traffic area is a different area than the crime area, so they're having to double up the efforts. But fortunately for us, we're able to do a concentrated effort into that one hotspot.
Okay, so it depends on the area that you're patrolling.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I have a question, Mr. President.
Steve.
Some folks say you could do something about, you could have a deer whistle, keep the deer from going in front of your car as you drive. Is there any kind of prevention? What would you suggest? You're going down a road, it's got trees on both sides, and you know the deer are out there.
go slow, tell her.
Go slow.
You said one of the things, you know, deer have typical areas that they travel in.
Right.
Like you're saying,
right.
the places where there's trees on both sides of the
right.
road, you're going to see deer cross there.
Uh-huh.
Just being alert. We've actually set out some things through our PIO. And to alert our citizens to try to be aware of some things, when you're driving down these, especially on secondary roads, we
right.
see a lot of our deer accidents. But just some cautionary things. There's some debate on whether the deer whistles actually work.
Okay.
But I believe that the key is just making sure that you're alert.
Yeah.
You know, always conscious of that, and especially during the night hours when they're traveling. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie Layfield would tell you when it's autumnal equinox and the deers are in rut, he's a big hunter. So
oh, that on the calendar. We'll have to check that.
Yeah.
Any more questions of council?
Just Mr. Harlan. Just two questions. Number one is what concerns you in general, just as a lieutenant in the leadership of Troop 5? That would be question number one. And then number two is what are you pleased with, in general?
Obviously, on a national level, I'm concerned with the death of a number of police officers. Locally, I am that impact on our troopers at the troop. Cumulatively, it has an effect. We just had a troop meeting, and I was reminding our guys to make sure that they talk to their family, talk to the staff at the troop. I want to make sure that their well-being is going to be fit for duty, and that it's not affecting that their home life as well. So on a national level, we're kind of seeing that. to be honest, we have a great relationship with our community at Troop 5. And let me just give you a quick example. You know, we had a pursuit that ended up in Coverdale Crossroads. And, you know, at a time where people could have come out and, you know, been adversarial with the police, we had the community come out and it's like, those troopers did a great job. And, you know, those guys deserved to go to jail. Just a tremendous outpour from the community. And that was good to see, and it was good to relay to our troopers that, you know, hey, we're making a good impact, and what you're doing counts. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but at this day and age, you have to be careful. Even stopping at a stoplight, you know, with the vehicle next to you, what are they doing? You know, where are their hands? You know, you have to end up stopping a little bit way back or a little bit in front of them, you know, just to try to avoid that side-to-side contact. And that's just the day that we live in. So that would probably be my greatest concern. The best thing I would say is that our guys, they're really getting a hold of this SPEAR initiative. In the beginning, anytime that you, and I'll use this word, micromanage, I like to use the word, it sounds much more palatable, accountability. You know, we're holding them accountable to do the steps really that they should have always been doing. And in the beginning, there was a little bit of heartache about it, but I can tell you, to see our young guys getting excited about throwing fingerprint dust around because they can get a fingerprint hit, or getting, like I said, that program called Rapid, you know, getting some hits on that. They're really excited about the work that they're doing. And it's just a great to see them take a personal interest in their cases. We tell them, handle every case like the victim was your mother. And we're seeing a lot of our guys do that, and it's been very effective.
That's good. I know Jim of course, Weller's your honorary troop commander. I know he's very passionate and very involved, and he's been a great advocate, I know, for Troop 5 as well. Just a quick question, because you've got a great female audience back behind you there, but how many female? You got some female troopers, yes?
Yes.
Because you may have some future ones behind you there, maybe.
Yes. We have about 2 females on every shift, I believe.
Okay.
And you know, certainly encourage you to do well in school and stay athletic, and we'd love to have you with the Delaware State Police.
There you go. Well, Lieutenant, thank you very much for all you do. Appreciate it.
Anything else from Council?
One more thing.
This is Deaver.
Do you get good cooperation from DelDOT?
We do.
You know, the way roads are marked and so on. You because we have a we're working on that.
he's kind of our go-to guy. Mm-hmm. We talk to him a lot about patterns and so forth, and they do hear us. They go do traffic studies when we ask them to do that. We had some lofty aspirations about reducing the deer population with signage and, you know, all of that, the deer accidents, I mean, and got a little kickback from that, but understandably so. I think up in Kent County, they put some signage out about some high crash areas, and they got a lot of negative impact from that from the public. So they're a little bit hesitant about helping us out with signage, but overall, just very, very good cooperative effort with DelDOT.
I thought that was a picture of a running deer. I didn't think you have to put words in it. Yeah. You know, isn't that isn't the sign?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, they do that for high. But we were actually wanting word signs.
Oh yeah.
You know, with billboards or whatever. So.
Thank you for your.
Anything else from council? Any more questions, comments?
Now that won't all be in English, right?
What's that, sir?
That won't all be in English.
No, that's right. Right.
Thank you for your presentation.
Yes, sir.
Tell Darren we hope he gets feeling better soon. And I see with all your graphs, there wasn't any much crime down the Delmar area. I guess we're all watching the field hockey teams. That's a good
thing.
Exactly.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah,
that's right.
They've helped the crime from that. Didn't even know it. That's good,
yes, sir.
Thank you. Sir.
Thanks so much. You're awesome.
He only gets half of Delaware. I mean, half.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next item of business is a proclamation for the Delmar High School field hockey team. I believe we are joined by the team today. I have a proclamation I'd like to read, and at the end of the conclusion, we'd ask the team to come forward, and we will present the proclamation and take a few pictures. So, a proclamation to honor the Delmar High School field hockey team upon winning the 2016 DIAA championship. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize the Delmar High School field hockey team for winning the Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association title as state champions for the 2016 season. The Delmar High School field hockey team capped an impressive season in beating Tower Hill by a score of 3-0 during the state championship game on Friday, November 18th, ending an impressive 18-1 record. The Delmar High School field hockey team's accomplishment is the first state title for the school's field hockey program and the first ever girls' state title in school history. The Delmar High School field hockey team played a formidable opponent in facing squads from across Sussex County and throughout the state of Delaware and Mid-Atlantic during the 2016 season, displaying cooperation, consistency, and character above all. The Delmar High School field hockey team's accomplishment is a source of tremendous pride for the Delmar School District community and all of Sussex County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends the Delmar High School field hockey team upon winning the 2016 Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association Championship title and proclaims Tuesday, December 6, 2016, as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor the team's remarkable achievement. Signed, Robert B. Arlett, Councilman. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. You all want to come down front here, and maybe we can get you on BOC. They got a camera here now. We can go on BOC too while you're here. There you go.
Watch TV tonight.
You'll be famous again.
For LW.
Make sure they can see. You might just scrunch up a little bit. Let Chip give you a...
I'd like to have as many of you here in front of this podium as possible. We need to tighten the shot. So fill in behind the podium and in front of the podium. Tallest to the back.
There you go. Tall in the rear, short in the front.
Uh-oh, can't see the coach.
Oh, make sure you see the coach. Why, Lord of mercy, get the coach in there. Come on now.
Put her up front.
I thought you were going to see him.
Yeah, get on the end there.
There are young thing get down on her knees. We get down, we have a hard thing to get back up.
Okay,
that's far to go.
Yeah.
She's the coach right there. No, this one, the lady right in dark hair. Second from the right. I introduced the woman.
Yeah.
She said she's coach.
Your assistant.
She's the long one. Dark brown hair.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. These two are probably assistants.
To the left of the red hair.
Sure. Yes. Sure.
How about if I put you on this side here and Mr. Arlett on this side?
Yeah, good. Get that coach up there. Get her up there. Put her up there.
She's the head coach.
Yeah.
There is some truth to that.
Now, don't do it, Joe Biden. No,
yeah, you're right.
Don't still say anything either. Just shut up.
Yeah.
At different hours.
Sure.
All right, I'll take a couple shots here.
I got red deer tags. They said you can call me up.
Oh, yeah.
All you want.
Yeah, just too tired. Maybe someday we'll have more women on this Sussex County Council.
There you go.
Think about it. We need them.
Oh, yeah.
We do, believe me.
We need good people.
Oh.
Sex has nothing to do with it.
I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Girls, congratulations. Very, very proud of you. Thank you very much.
Anytime a Sussex County team can beat a Newcastle team, we love it.
That's
yes.
It.
That's it. For you.
Love it.
All right.
We can't get enough of that.
Are they
all from Delmar? They could live in Maryland. Go to school there, I guess, yeah.
Could be Maryland,
I guess they could.
Is it Maryland, too?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. Wait, huh? Yeah, that's why
you're
so good.
Okay. The next item of business is the Administrator's Report for December 6, 2016. Item number one. The Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for October is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 192 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of October. Item number two, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Coastal Club Land B4 Phase 1 received substantial completion effective November 30th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Randy Norman, Fair Housing Update. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so I'm here today for the last time to provide you with an update on the progress of our settlement requirements with HUD and the Department of Justice. And our progress is a result of the collaborative efforts of the county's legal staff and the Community Development and Housing Department. So a few examples of the actions that we've taken under the U.S. Department of Justice consent decree are under Section 2, which relates to the construction of affordable housing by Diamond State Community Land Trust. We have continued to submit letters of support and partnership on behalf of the organization, as well as have met with them a couple of times to discuss opportunities for additional community land trust houses in Sussex County. And they actually have three homes under contract right now in Ingram Village, just outside of Ellendale. They're very successful there, and they have three more homes planned for 2017. Under Section 3, this relates to the creation of an affordable and fair housing marketing plan. We've not ever received approval on the plan from the Department of Justice, but we've continued to proceed as if we did. We hosted, under that plan, we have plan to do home buyer fairs. We've hosted our third annual home buyer fair on September 24th. It was another successful event. We pulled 82 credit reports for the attendees, with over 110 attendees actually walking through. Under Section 4, this requires me as the Fair Housing Compliance Officer to receive and review complaints of housing discrimination against the county. In the last 6 months, there was one complaint received. It was reviewed, investigated, and subsequently withdrawn by the complainants. And there's at this time, there's no additional action required by the county. Under Section 6, this just requires us to submit semi-annual compliance reports on all of our activities, and we submitted that to the Department of Justice on September 28th. And also under that section requires us to do annual fair housing training, which, as you remember, was completed on June 9th. And we continue to work closely with the Human Resources Department here at the county to ensure that any new employee hired that falls under our requirements gets trained within 30 days of their hire. And since June, we've had three additional county employees that have completed the training. And then under Section 7, we were required to create an affordable and fair housing webpage, which we did in 2013, and we work regularly with the IT department to post updates, as well as public hearings, meetings, and our compliance reports. And lastly, under the consent decree, we are required to report out on any activity that pertains to changes in the county's zoning or land use laws and that addresses the construction or approval for affordable housing. And obviously, we submitted recent correspondence relating to the recently approved rental program amendment, which was passed by you on November 1st. Okay, and then as under the HUD's voluntary compliance agreement, under Section 3, this required us to review and evaluate the three analysis of impediments to fair housing, which we did, and we developed a priority fair housing plan to address those impediments. We've gone back and forth several times with HUD to revise those plans, and we most recently submitted a revised plan to them in May. And one item that we've recently implemented under that plan is to ensure that our fair housing policy and affordable housing support policy are advertised clearly through our planning and zoning office. So Janelle has been very helpful with that, and that material is now available in the subdivision application, the county's webpage, and their bulletin board in the office. Under Section 3, we were required to do an internal evaluation of the 14 rural communities in the county. As you recall, we presented that to you in early October. We knocked on 916 doors and received quite a bit of information from those communities. And from that data, we've put together a prioritization policy regarding infrastructure and improvements to the rural communities. And this is going to be particularly useful as we move forward with the comprehensive plan process. Both of those items are available on our webpage. And lastly, the county submitted its eighth and final semi-annual compliance report on all of our activities and efforts on September 28th to HUD. We received a response from them on November 28th seeking some additional clarifications. It's not insurmountable items, and our team has worked through them, and we responded yesterday with a letter addressing the clarifications and also with a request to meet with them in person again, and we hope that through those efforts, it will ensure the formal close of the VCA by the end of this calendar year.
Thank you very much. And Brad and your office staff. This has been a long, tedious process in some cases. Had a lot of work with few people, but you've done a great job. We truly appreciate it, and the residents of this county are better off for it. So thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Medlars, estuary agreements and consultants.